want to get into something really serious and something that is like hard to talk about, because I don't think everybody believes in these physical healings. They struggle maybe to believe. And so what would you say, both like scripturally, what would you say to using scripture that healing still happens? But also, I mean, we've just heard your story. Clearly, medicine and God have this duet for healing to happen. But using scripture and like the encouragement of people that are in that struggle and that tension to believe. Like, give us some of your wisdom on this. How would you encourage others that are struggling through, you know, even chronic illness? I mean, there's so much here.
Yeah, I mean, I do think we need to talk about the chronic illness piece, because I'm like, yes, the dramatic goodness of God and just how smooth my surgery went. And even with my recovery afterwards, like there's a normal period of like not being able to walk and all these other things. And God just went above and beyond. And like it, none of it made sense the way that my surgery and my recovery went. And even comparing to other people who've had brain surgeries, it really was an exceptional experience that I had. But I do want to talk about people with chronic illnesses, because I think for me, especially as a pastor now, that season where I was sick for so long, and my husband's also in ministry, we prayed. I mean, we did all the things, and it wouldn't go away. The migraines kept getting worse, and they were so debilitating. I couldn't leave the house. It was so, so bad. I felt like a different person. I didn't even feel like myself, because this illness was like taking over my identity. And I think unless you've walked through chronic illness, it is hard to walk alongside a person like that, because if we're honest, I think a lot of times we want God to be like, you put money in a vending machine and the chocolate bar pops out. And more often than not, it's like, it can feel like you've sent somebody a message and it's just left unread, and they don't reply for a really long time. I think when people are praying for healing, when they have these illnesses, when they don't feel well, and you pray and you pray and you pray, and you have other people praying for you, and you have people praying with you, and you're doing everything you can, and you're not getting the answer you want in the timing that you want, that is when our faith is tested. Our faith isn't tested when everything happens like microwave speed. And so I think we have done a disservice to people in the church if we make them think that they will never suffer. And this is something in the West, you know, having lived in Africa, having lived in West Africa, and then living in the West again now, I think it's dangerous if we don't prepare people that suffering is part of life. Jesus said, in the world, you will have suffering. Like, there are going to be hard times. When you look at the early church, most of them were martyred and died. And so I think if people think that saying yes to Jesus and going to church means life is going to be easy, then what happens when it's not easy? Because those seasons will come. My husband and I, we've been through seasons of trials and tests and suffering. We've been through good times. We've been through hard times. And I think if you don't understand, if you don't have a robust theology of suffering, where you understand that suffering is part of the package of being a disciple of Jesus, as we are in the world hates Jesus. There is an enemy. There is the devil who is still roaming around, who is throwing arrows at Christians. And then our own flesh, our own sinful nature sometimes gets us into problems as well. And we live in broken bodies. We're broken vessels. My body's not perfect. Over this whole experience, I've really grown an appreciation of my relationship with my body, where I'm like, I love my body and I'm so grateful that my body's able to do things, but I know that this is not my forever dwelling. This is a temporary, I'm living in this frail body. You know, if you cut here, it's going to bleed. If you fall, it can get broken. all these things can happen, but this is not our forever abode. You know, there's going to be a time when I have a resurrection body, and that body is going to be very different from this body that I currently temporarily indwell. And so what I would say to people is, yes, in the world, you will have suffering. If it hasn't happened yet, it is going to happen at some point, because life on earth, there are just some things about life on earth. Part of life on earth, there are going to be hard times and evil and pain and sickness. The good news is, though, is that Jesus is with us through it all. And what I have found over the past few years in talking with other people as I share my story of suffering and healing and God's closeness is that almost every person I know, if you ask them a season in their life when God was the closest,
yeah,
9 times out of 10, it's a hard season. It's not the easy season. It's not when everything is good and everything is gravy that God feels close. It's when you are pushed to your limit and you are being tested and you are weeping and you are in a place of weakness that you feel God's strength. So I would say God promises that He will be with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. So when you are in the storm, in the midst of the craziest storm, remember that He is there with you.
I feel like I have a knot in my throat as you're talking about, as you're speaking to me. Like, it's just, wow, girl. Like, I have so many questions in my mind right now. One, the friend who's trying to support, like the ones that were alongside you that you felt encouraged by, there were others that tried to come alongside you. And although they tried the encouragement, there are sometimes, you know, as Christians, we shouldn't. There's things that we say that we think are helpful, and they're really not.
No.
And they hurt more than help, and you have to kind of just, shed it. Like the person who was, they meant well to tell you, oh, don't do the operation. God's going to heal you just like that, because He can, and we know that He can. Yeah. But really in that moment, it wasn't helpful. So you have to like discern and shed things and forgive quickly, because some things hurt, you know. But I wonder, what would you share with the friend who's trying to support? What are the things to maybe say or not say?
Yeah, I mean, sadly, people do say a lot of things that I'm like, why did you say that? You know, don't post that, don't share that, don't send that. You know, at Sanctus Church, when we've talked about care in the past, pastoral care, we talk about prayer, presence, and practical support. And I think those three P's, they have led me in how to be a friend, how to be a spiritual friend to people, how to be a pastor. And I've also felt that from people in our lives. And so don't downplay presence. Presence, not gifts. I mean, just being present. Sometimes people need prayer, and absolutely I needed prayer. And the number of people who prayed for me and with me was immense and so valuable. But sometimes people just need presence. You just need somebody to come and sit with you. And you don't have to say a lot. I think sometimes as Christians, we may think we always have to bring a profound word of wisdom. Sometimes you just need someone to sit with you, hug you while you're crying, have a coffee, have a tea, and just be with that person, because there can be immense loneliness when you're going through a period of suffering. You can feel isolated. All of this was also happening during lockdowns. So the world was already locked down, but I felt very isolated, and I was just at home a lot because I literally couldn't go. I couldn't get out. I had these debilitating migraines. And so you're just at home on the couch and having somebody to be present with you. And then lastly, practical support. I can't tell you the number of people who dropped off meals. For our family, for a month after my surgery, we didn't have to cook a single meal. People set up a meal train. People would just drop things on our porch. Like, we wouldn't even know who it was from. Someone would ring the doorbell. By the time my husband would get to the door, there'd be food on the porch. There'd be groceries. There'd be activities for my daughter. Like, the way that community rallied around me, really, we are the body of Christ. And I think sometimes we try to do everything on our own, and we're so individualistic in the West. And it's like, this is my faith and my prayer life and my walk with God. But like, we're a body and we need each other. And I really had to learn to accept help in that season, because I'm the person that I want to help other people and I want to do everything for others and I want to be everywhere doing all the things. And God was like, Robin, rest. and receive this. Like, just receive the love and the generosity and the prayers of all this community of Christ. And it was a beautiful gift. And I think for people, even in my family, who aren't Christians yet, they were just in awe of how our community showed up for us. It was baffling. It was so beautiful.
Wow. I love this. I love talking about, it's like the valleys and the mountains and all the things that are happening around this moment of tension. And I know I've been asking you pretty difficult questions. It's like, here's another one. And
go for it.
This one is what I know you and I have talked a bit about this, and in our theology classes, we're talking about these big questions, but how do you reconcile these moments when healing doesn't happen the way that we hope? Mm-hmm. Is God just not listening? Is he just not wanting to heal? Is it like, how do we reconcile that? Because we've all been in the lives of other people.
Yeah.
Let's go like really hard. Maybe even at the grave side, like of people that have passed and have been praying for their healing along the way, but didn't get it. Yeah. Here on earth as they wanted it to be. And so how do you encourage or reconcile that tension of some people get healing and some people don't?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a tough one. I think this is one of the tougher questions that we have to ask ourselves. For me, I wrestle it down to God's sovereignty. I remember that God is God and I am not God. And so though I want to plan my life, and I want to be Lord of my life, and I want to have all my ducks in a row, I'm like, I'm your servant. You are God. You are Lord. One thing I think of with this is hindsight. You know, people say hindsight is 20/20. And I think when people walk the walk of faith, sometimes when you look back on seasons, you're like, oh, that's why. I look back on infertility, you know, in our marriage, in our family, we struggled with infertility. It took us 5 years to get pregnant with my daughter. And then we had secondary infertility before, you know, having my son. And, you know, years went by, month after month after month, crying and praying and feeling like, God, you spoke to us and you told us we would have a son. Well, why isn't this happening? Like, what is going on? And then, of course, when I look back and I look at all the brain surgery stuff and I look at all the ministry stuff and I'm like, oh, you know, God wasn't withholding a good thing from me. God is not a God who's like, I have this really great thing and I'm just not going to give it to you because I'm mean like that. In his sovereign plan, he knows his timing. He knows what he's doing. So even though I would have wanted to get pregnant earlier and I would have wanted to have kids closer together, maybe I would have wanted to have more kids, in God's sovereign plan for my life, his design for my life, as I keep walking with him, he's clarifying why things happened the way they did, why things, it seemed like they were delaying, but like, no, there were reasons why some things took longer than I would have wanted. And God knew that. He knew what he was doing in me. He knew what he was doing in our lives. And there were reasons. And so I think when you walk with God, you have to remember his character, that he is good. And so if he is withholding something, there's a reason for that. I think for some people, it's hard if they have a chronic illness and they may have that their whole lives. There are people who they're going to have that their whole life, and they may not be freed from that in this life, in this body. The hope for that person is our resurrected bodies. It is a future with Jesus when he is going to wipe away every tear and there will be no more pain. There will be no more sickness. But we have to remember where we live, right? It's like right now I'm in Canada. I'm in Ontario. It's winter. It's cold out. There are certain things about where I am that dictate my life. And I think we forget that earth is a temporary place. And it's like, yeah, sadly on earth, just like there's snow, I don't like winter, you know, just like there's snow on earth, there's also bad things that happen on earth. And that is part of living here. It's part of this temporary posture, this temporary position that we have on earth, but we have a hope, we have a greater hope that God is going to restore all things. There's going to be a restored new creation, not just our relationship with him being reconciled, but he's also going to give us new bodies, and all of creation is going to be restored, and there's going to be a new heavens, there's going to be a new earth. And I think that's where we have to fix our eyes when things aren't happening the way we want them to happen. You know, I think pastorally, I talk to people who are struggling because they're like, I wanted to be married by this time, or I wanted to have kids by this time, or I wanted to have this by that time. And I think when the world is kind of pitching us that you can be whoever you want to be, like if you just work hard enough and if you just do everything, you can be Lord of your life. But for we who are Christians, we have to constantly take the posture of a servant and say, God, I'm yours. I'm just a vessel. Please fill me and please use me. I want to be subservient to your work. I will do your bidding. If you send me, I will go. But we are not Lord of our own lives. God is Lord of our lives.
Yeah. I'm sensing the person who's listening in and feeling like tired and exhausted of their journey. And I believe God sees you and hears you and loves you. I think about the, like, all of us have different stories, and one day we'll flip. You can interview me and I will go back and forth. But I have seen when people are in deep, deep suffering, like what you're saying, the community that comes around and how love is invoked in like surfaces out of hearts of people that you may have never even thought that that could be the action. So I think there's more to the stories. There's layers to the stories outside of just heal my body, God. I don't want to suffer. There's other things that are going on around that.
Yeah.
So I remember, oh my gosh, this whole podcast is like the podcast that really breaks. I sit with people so often, like you do, in our pastoral roles. And I hear their cries, and I feel like the empathy. I think that's part of being a pastor, or people that are, you know, in our lives, our close friends. There is so much suffering, but those that hold on to hope, like what you're encouraging us to do, is don't do this life alone, because it is hard. And so you're not meant to do this life alone. I'm really aware of those that are listening and maybe watching us on the whatever channels we're on, is that God does want to heal your mind and your emotion and your spirit and your body. There are layers to this healing. Let's not limit God to just needing to be the healer of our body.
Yes. That is so good. Yeah. And that is so, so good. Yeah. And I think we have to remember that God works through our suffering. Again, these are not the messages people may want to hear. But when you look at Romans 5, it's like suffering produces perseverance. And there's all of these things that they really only come from that school of hard knocks. They don't come when you are just gliding through life and everything is easy. There are things that come through suffering. And I think, you know, I've journeyed with people who are going through really, really, truly hard, devastating times. And I wish I could pray for them. I wish I could pray them out of their suffering. And I do pray. I'm like, Lord, if it's possible, please heal this, or please fix that marriage, or please help that child to come back. You know, I do intercede for people, but my prayer is also like, Lord, help them not to waste this suffering. And I pray that for myself. Help me not to waste this season of suffering. When you're in a season of suffering, God can use it to really refine us. He can use it to sanctify us and bring out beautiful fruits. Or you can have a season of suffering that you complain through the whole thing and you grumble through the whole thing, and it doesn't refine you the way that God could have done. And so when I pray for people who are really exhausted, who are going through terribly difficult times, I'm like, please, Lord, heal them. Please, Lord, fix it. Please take it away. But if it's in your plan that actually this they need to go through this, please help them not to waste this season of suffering. Get all the glory out of it. Just refine them and sharpen them and sanctify them through this really tough season. And I'm telling you, God does beautiful work. In that refiner's fire, he does really, really beautiful work.
I'm so grateful that you said yes to coming alongside us in this podcast today. Would you pray for those that are asking for their healing miracle and pray for those that are feeling the tension of not receiving that healing miracle?
Yes. So let's just open up our hands in a posture of openness before our God. God, you are a good God. You are full of mercy. Every single morning, your mercies are new. The fact that we are alive today and breathing and able to even talk and listen to a podcast, it's because of your mercies every day. And right now, Lord, we lift up every single person right now who is going through that trial, who is in the midst of that storm, whether it's a physical illness or it's relational issues, family issues, psychological issues, whether it's they've had extended periods of waiting for years, praying for years and not getting the answer that they want. Father, right now we ask for you to send your Holy Spirit. Make your presence so known, so palpable. Your word is clear that you are here when two or three are gathered. You are here with us. And you promise to never leave us, never forsake us. No matter how grumpy we are, no matter how sick we are, no matter how tired we are, no matter how angry we are, you are there. So Holy Spirit, please make your presence known. Help us to feel you. And Father, I pray that you would raise up the body of Christ around all of these people. May they be so surrounded. Lord, as they feel weak and weary and they can't lift up their hands, would you bring people to hold up their left and their right arm, Lord? Would you surround them? Would they feel your love? Lord, I think about the doctor, the neurosurgeon braiding my hair and just this act of kindness that he didn't have to do. And I just pray that, Lord, you would sovereignly work through people, that they would just show this incredible kindness that you emulate, that you distribute, God. You are the one who is the source of that kindness. You are the God of all kindness. And Father, we thank you for the people that you have healed, and we trust you that you are still the God who heals. You are still the God who heals. Your desire for all of us is to have complete shalom, complete wholeness, complete health in our mind, in our body, in our soul, in our spirit. And you died on the cross for us, Jesus, so that all of our sin could be wiped away and so that the enemy could be defeated once and for all. And Lord, we thank you for your perfect offering on the cross. And Lord, we look forward expectantly to that day when you are going to come again and you are going to restore all things. We look forward, Lord, to laying down these temporary bodies and taking on our resurrection bodies. And we look forward to the new creation when the lion and the lamb can dwell together, when you can put your finger into a wasp's nest, when all creation is going to be together in harmony and in unity. But Lord, we pray, help us to remain strong in the faith, even in the midst of trials. Even when we pray something for 10 years and the answer doesn't come the way we want it or when we want it, Lord, would we be helped by your Holy Spirit, your comforter, your advocate, to know that you are still good and that you are working things out, Lord. But you see things we don't see. You alone are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. So Lord, help us to trust you even when it doesn't make sense, even when it's not the timing that we would have wanted for ourselves, that we would have orchestrated for ourselves. Help us to trust and know that you, Jesus, are Lord. You are God. You are sovereign. And we trust that you have good plans for us, Lord. So help us to persevere. And when we are going through trials and suffering, Lord, would you work beautiful perseverance in us? Will we grow in faith and in hope and in love and in gentleness and in self-control? Would you just birth beautiful fruits in us as you sanctify us in that refiner's fire, Lord? And Father, I just pray protection over every listener, Lord, that you would just silence the voice of the accuser and that we would hear from you alone. You are the one true God, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You are the good shepherd. We want to hear from you and we want to follow you as you lead us to green pastures. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, friend. Thank you so much for being with us today. I can't wait to see you and hug you the next time I'm in Ontario.
So, thank you
so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.